Several recent psychological studies have found a significant correlation between well-being, including physical health, and even longer life expectancy based on one thing. And this thing is within the grasp of everyone, you and me, young and old. It has to do with the way we think and what we believe. Quite simply, by having meaning in life, we reap many other benefits. The perception of your life as being significant, purposeful, and valuable is what we understand as having meaning. And that plays a role in our mental health as well as our physical well-being. While the studies did not get into this other aspect, I also believe that it follows that having meaning in life also is something that will help us to get through the most difficult times that we face in life. If we have meaning in life, if we have a reason why to continue moving forward and doing what we do, then we will have an easier time. We will be more successful in getting through the hard times. Those times where we feel that the deck is stacked against us, when nothing is going our way, when perhaps nothing really makes sense about why things are happening in our lives. When we have a reason why to continue doing what we do, it truly, truly helps. Now, we, of course, are all Christians in this age who follow the commandments of God. That means that the world that we live in, which is ruled by Satan, is at enmity against God and us when we are on God's side. Our ways of living will get us into difficult situations in life. It's unavoidable if we are truly living as Christians. And those difficult situations, Satan is, you know, they're tempting us, trying to get us to submit to follow his way of life. But that is not what we want to do. We have to have a reason why we continue in this way of life, which gives us meaning and purpose, gives us something to motivate us to power through the difficult times. If we think in a way that we limit ourselves to what we can do in our physical lives, it's easy to consider our insignificance, especially in comparison to God. We are here on earth for a short period of time, and what we do now will absolutely pass away with time. As human beings, even the greatest things we do are like nothing in comparison to what God does. Man-made creations that we can think of, the Colosseum in Rome is crumbled, right? It is a ruin right now. And at the time that was created, just thousands of years ago, not that long ago, I'm sure it was a magnificent thing. But those people they have died, the people who created it. Nobody knows their names. And we too, and the things that we do, we might create something big at the moment, but it will pass. I'd like to open up in Psalm 144 and read verses 3 through 4. This is where David reflects on this insignificance of being human. Psalm 144 and verse 3. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. We get a sense of the temporal nature of our existence. We are only here for a short period of time. There's only so much we can do. Yet God sees us as being notable, significant. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, created everything that exists. By comparison, what can we do in this life? And the answer is not a whole lot. I can make a birdhouse, which is cool, but in comparison, it of course is nothing. David makes this point that we cannot accomplish much with our lives in a physical sense. Yet God doesn't think in physical terms. He thinks in a spiritual way. He considers the significance in a spiritual sense. He looks at our lives in terms of our spiritual potential, what we can do, the difference that we can make in a spiritual way, the fruit that we can develop spiritually, love and patience and righteousness and virtue. That is the mind that we need to have. Think about how we can develop those spiritual fruits, because that is what God cares about. The physical things that we may do may be big for a moment, but they will fade away. But the spiritual things that we are able to do with our lives, those are what will stand. The meaning that we have in life is much greater than what we can do with our hands and with our brains. The meaning that we have in life is directed by God's purpose for us individually. He has a purpose for us. He has a meaning for our lives to exist, for you and me. And it is our job to live that out. Let's go to Romans 8 and read verses 18 through 23 there. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Who is that, brethren? Who are the children of God? That's you and me. I'm interjecting here a little bit, but it's important to understand that the creation, everything that exists, will be handed over to us. We will inherit the creation. You consider something like, just next time you take a walk, pick up a rock. Consider what it takes to create a rock. Being a man, to try and create a rock, that thing that's common that this whole earth is built of, it is impossible. You can't create a single rock. Yet all of this creation, this wonder in this grain of sand, in a rock, that wonderful creation, God is going to entrust to the children of God. So continuing here in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the sonship, the redemption of our body. We are sons of God, begotten sons of God, right now, today. That is how God sees us. We have a great purpose, and it is spelled out in part right here. All of the majestic creation that we talked about, that I just went through, will be turned over to us. If you continue reading through this chapter, which I encourage you to do, you will find that everything that we experience in life, even the pain, the suffering, the trials, and the good things too, the blessings, the laughter, the delight, the relationships that we build with one another, all of those things are for our edification. All of those things work together for good to those who love God. He has called us for his purpose. And we just get a glimpse of it with our puny minds in this chapter here. We can find meaning in our lives knowing that God the Father, the Almighty, has called us for his purpose, to be part of his family, to inherit creation. I can think of no better reason to continue in this way of life than that. I'd like to go over to John 12 and read verses 23 through 28. Here we'll read about Jesus Christ and how he understood his purpose. John 12, beginning in verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies and produces much grain, it produces much grain." Period. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus Christ understood what his purpose was, and it was to come to this earth, to suffer, to go through the same kind of trouble and trial that you and I do in overcoming sin, and to succeed, yet also to sacrifice his life for us. Jesus Christ understood his purpose as being directed by God. Brethren, you and I are in the same boat. God has a purpose for you and I. Are we going to fulfill it? Is that what gives you meaning? To ask the age-old question, why are you here? What is your reason for continuing in this way of life? What is your reason for listening to me today, for tuning in, making a point to schedule your time to tune in to these church services that we produce live to learn? Why do you do it? I don't know that I'm saying anything that's more special than anybody else is saying, but yet you are here listening to what I have to say to you. Brethren, I hope that the fact that God has called you for a glorious purpose gives you something to help keep you focused, to help you set your priorities, to help you overcome the trials and troubles and to see through them, to know that we have a bigger purpose, something that is fulfilling what God wants us to do. Brethren, that is something that motivates me, and I hope you share the same sentiment. It is, I can't be overly optimistic, though. I do understand and realize, acknowledging that it is very easy to become distracted by the forces of the world that we live in. If we allow it, it can be very easy for us to find a reason to give up and to go in a different direction instead of finding a reason to continue. We need to be very careful to consider the legitimacy of those, we need to make sure that those reasons that we might encounter that may tell us or try to swindle us into stopping this Christian way of life, those are illegitimate reasons. We have to find a way to acknowledge that and to not fall into their trap. We must not be short-sighted. Our focus is on the purpose that God has for us. And that is it. Our goal is beyond any kind of physical horizon that we can see. Everything that we encounter between here and there, where there is our salvation and eternal life, everything will threaten to throw us off track, to push us off the narrow road that we walk on. We cannot let this happen to us. Our reason for staying on this path must have a foundation in the love for God, his way of life, and his purpose for us. That love is what will keep us staying on track. Please turn to Psalm 1, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When we meditate on the magnificence of the law of God and what his plan is, we develop a deep love for his way of life. If and when we struggle to find a reason why to keep doing what we're doing, supporting the work of the church, continuing to overcome sin, continuing to develop the fruit of the Spirit, we need to invest our time and efforts and resources into further development for the love of God. We do that by taking the time to read and learn and meditate on his word, to love it, to own it for ourselves. We all need a reason why to keep going in life. Because if we don't, when life hits us hard, we might not find a reason to get up. We might just take it and give up. But when we have a reason why, and that reason is directed by God, then we must get up. We can rely in that scenario on the strength of Jesus Christ to help us. And we will do it. God has a purpose for you and me. Take some time to truly consider that, his purpose. Everything that you experience is to fulfill that purpose. He believes in you. He believes in me. And he will challenge you to grow and develop as Christians. Develop the fruit of the Spirit that he knows that you and I can develop. When we take his purpose for us and adopt it as our own meaning in life, the benefits both now and into eternity are innumerable.